Hello, everybody. It's good to see you. How's everybody doing today? You guys doing good?
Yeah.
Happy to be in church today?
Yeah.
It's good. Awesome. It's good to be back again with you. It's been a while since I've been up here. I was going to preach like a few months ago, like a month and a half ago, but then I had a baby, so kind of couldn't really do that. So, yeah, crazy. So if you see us holding a little baby, we have this cute little daughter named Selah. She's so cute. Although she doesn't really like to sleep very much, but you know, that's okay. So if you're ever like awake in the middle of the night, just know that there's a good chance I'm probably awake with you. Hope that doesn't sound weird, but it's just the reality of life, but that's okay. If we haven't had the chance to meet, my name is Ben. I have the wonderful privilege of overseeing the Next Gen ministry here at Redemption Church, and it's so good to bring the word with you this morning. We're going to continue our series in the book of Ephesians. I wonder how many weeks it's been now. It's like, it's got to be getting up there pretty good, but 19-something, 20-something, who knows? I'm not really sure, but we're going to keep going. But before I begin, I just have a question. Are there any movie buffs in the house here today? Does anybody here just like, after a long day, you just got this movie that you either saw on Netflix, it just came out, Amazon Prime, anybody, are there any other major streaming, Disney Plus, whatever it is, who here just loves like a good movie? Are you guys with me on that one? Yeah? Okay, I'm just curious, like, when we're talking, you could say like, somebody asks you, you know, what's like your favorite movie? That's such a broad question. I like to ask more like, what kind of genre is like, what kind of genre are you feeling? Curious, is there anybody here that is like a big comedy slash like romance kind of movie person? A few, okay. I see like the woman's hands coming up. Makes sense. What about like action, adventure? You know what I mean? Yeah, there we go. I'll throw my hand up there too. Any like thriller, suspense? I know it's a little more gloomy. Okay, I see Zoli's hand coming up for everyone. So this is a movie guy here. I'm speaking to you today, brother. What about horror? Oh, we gotta pray for brother, we gotta pray for you, man. I'm sorry. I'm kidding. Movies are great. Oh man, I love movies. It's fun. Yeah, me and my wife, some of the things we love to do is just sit back, watch a movie. We have this huge couch, got a nice TV. It's a fun thing to do. When I think about movies, I think, you know, there's obviously lots of different storylines. There's different genres, as I just kind of mentioned. But there's also this kind of main thing that I kind of like to look for when it comes to movies. And sometimes I like to think of, like, what's, like, the overarching theme? Or what's, like, the main thing that's the director or the producer is trying to communicate or depict? And one thing I realized when it comes to any solid movie, whatever genre it may be a part of, there's this theme that's so common, and it's good versus evil, right? That's, like, probably the most basic, classic, you know, like, solid kind of overall theme that encompasses a lot of movies. I did a little nerding out on movies because that's what one does, and I have a few stats I want to share with you before we begin, okay? So when it comes to action movies, a lot of the men here, a few of the women, but mostly the men, 80% of the time in action movies, you see this good versus evil theme going on, which is like pretty high. Thriller movies, a little less, 70%, pretty solid. Adventure, 85% of the time, there's this good versus evil theme. Thriller, suspense, 75 to 80%. Would include comedy, but it's like 30 or 25%, so I'm just not sure that specific stat. But in a lot of the content and the media that we kind of ingest, there's this theme of good versus evil, so we're quite familiar with that. And as we kind of open the text of Scripture today, it's going to be in Ephesians 5, you'll kind of notice, and you're going to continue to see throughout, is Paul uses a lot of this language of light and darkness and good versus evil. And so I want to kind of hone in a little bit on that today and kind of draw a few conclusions from the text. So if you have your Bibles today, we're going to open up to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. We are going to read a few verses today. We're going to read verses 11 all the way through to 21. 11 all the way through 21. Alrighty, are you guys there? You're good? Got it on the screen there. Perfect. All right, let's get going here. It says this. This is Paul reading, talking to the church of Ephesus, and this is what he's saying. He's saying, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is even shameful, even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Verse 15, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. I titled today's message, I'm Walking on Sunshine. I'm walking on sunshine. No, I didn't just come from a karaoke place. That's the title of the message. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm walking on sunshine. And if you're really brave, just start singing right now. No, I'm just kidding. Speaking of sunshine, looks like the sun is coming out today. Awesome. Would you pray with me as we dive into the word together? Father in heaven, we worship you. Lord, you are great. You are amazing. Lord, you are perfect in all of your ways. Lord, today as we read these verses today from the Apostle Paul, though it was for such a long time ago and for a different audience, Lord, I thank you that your word is alive and it's active and it never comes back void. And so I pray, God, that by your Spirit, you would speak to each and every single one of us today. I pray, Lord God, that you would give us a fresh revelation of the risen Jesus Christ in our own lives. We love you, Lord, and we give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody said, amen. 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 Awesome. So like I said before, there's this idea of darkness versus light. It's pretty easy to understand. You know, you've probably seen like, you know, Star Wars. That's like the main movie that I could think of, or kind of series where it's like, you see darkness, you see light. Obviously, you got like Darth Vader, you know, you got all the other people. I'm not a big Star Wars guy, you know. I'm more of an MCU guy, you know, Marvel Cinematic Universe. Trivia. I'm sorry. After Endgame is not good, but you know, before that is good. Just boom, roasted. Okay, fine. Star Wars. I'll let you have that one. So the first point today I want to address is, before we talk about this darkness and this light, we want to think about what is light. What is light? That's my first point today. What is light? If this was a preteen lesson, all of them would probably shoot up their hands and say Jesus or God, and I'd be like, you're not wrong. That's good. That's correct. But we're going to go a little bit more deeper than that. Some of you are like, dang, really? Oh, I got it. You may think, man, isn't light just the opposite of darkness? But Paul here is actually saying that light, or this light, is actually not just the thing we see in the sky, but it's actually our identity. It's who we are. I want to explain that a little bit. So now this verse is technically out of kind of my jurisdiction for today. I know I'm going to refer to verse 8, but I know I just want to quickly touch on this because I think it's important for us to see. So verse 8 of Ephesians 5, it says, for at one time you were darkness. Let that settle in for a second. He's talking to the church of Ephesus, and this is before they received this knowledge of who Jesus was, and before they received this, before there was this light that Paul is saying, you were actually darkness. You were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. So what does it mean to walk as children of light? I want to kind of unpack a little bit of that today. So the first kind of few verses, it says this. I'm going to read them again, and then we're going to backtrack and work our way through. I got a few illustrations. Hopefully I can make you laugh a little bit, but we'll see. After the Star Wars kind of response, I don't know if I'll be as lucky today, but that's okay. We're going to go with it. So verse 11, it says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. I don't know about you, but don't you love it when the Bible is just like so clear? Like, it doesn't, you don't need, like, to, like, search up, like, a commentary. You don't have to, like, you know, go, like, hey, Siri, like, what does this mean or whatever. It just, like, it's very straightforward. It's plain. It's there for us. And right here at the very beginning, Paul is putting it so plainly. He's saying, take no part. If we're going to be children of the light, he's saying, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. Then he goes on to say, but instead, expose them. Jeez, heavy topic for today. Here in the text, Paul is plainly stating to take no part. I love how he uses the word unfruitful. Unfruitful. Throughout scripture, there's references to fruit or seeds, implying that there's growth, implying that there's like something is planted and then there's this flourishing that takes place. But I love how Paul says, take no part in the unfruitful. In the unfruitful. If something bears fruit, it's of benefit. It's good, right? I think of, you know, Galatians 5, you know, the fruits of the Spirit, you know, love, joy, peace, patience. Yes, come on. There we go. There we go. That's good. All of those things, those are good things. But Paul's saying the unfruitful works of darkness. There really is no value or meaning and worth in unfruitful. Living in darkness will not produce any fruit. Living in darkness will not produce any fruit. And the second thing that I see kind of in this first kind of verse here when Paul talks about this exposing things into the light, I love how he says we should avoid the unfruitful works of darkness, but not the people who are in darkness, right? We're not supposed to avoid the darkness as a whole, but Paul is saying not to avoid the unfruitful works, but actually focus on the people who are in darkness, who are in the dark, not just the people that live maybe on, I don't know, like East Hastings Street or downtown or wherever you see a lot of brokenness, but it's in your workplace, it's in your classroom, it's on your neighborhood, there's darkness. And Paul is saying go to where the darkness is. Don't avoid it all. Go to where the people are as well. There is a broken world, and we're in it. That means that the light that we carry cannot shine. Amen? When I think of the light of Jesus, he perfectly demonstrates this, right? All throughout his ministry. I don't have time to go through all the verses and everything, but Jesus is very clear about what his mission was. His mission was to seek and to save the lost, right? So before we continue to address this area of understanding of what light is, we can look into what Paul was referring to here when he talks about exposing sin. I know you're probably glad that you decided to come to church today, right? We're talking about exposing sin. You're like, Ben, what do you got to tell me about that? I'm like, it's okay, I'm just the messenger. I'm just reading the word here today. You picked a good day to be in church. So here in the text, we see Paul doesn't just instruct us not to take any part in darkness, but he actually goes on to say, expose it. Expose it. I love what John MacArthur says relating to this topic. He says, to ignore evil is to encourage it. To keep quiet about it is to help promote it. It's this idea that there is a lot of darkness, there's a lot of evil around us, and I feel like it's easy, and I'm going to include myself. It's easy just to take a step back and be like, you know, I don't want to get my hands dirty. This doesn't concern me. But there's this idea of actually exposing exposing the things that need to be exposed so they get brought into the light. So how do we do this? How do we, as Christians, expose these areas of sin, this darkness, into the light? Because that's what we want, right? Because when darkness is brought to the light, it's no longer dark anymore, right? Simple as that. I love it. Paul is very simple. This light and dark illustration is very easy to understand. I think it's easy when thinking about the word expose, you attach ideas of like humiliation or like embarrassment. I'm pretty sure there's like a TV show. I've never watched it, but I Googled it. It's on. It was on like MTV like 20 years ago. It's like called Exposed. I don't really watch anything about it, but I think it's this premise where like people just get humiliated on TV for the most, I don't know what kind of reasons, but that's not kind of the thing that Paul is talking about. He's not saying expose people in this type of way, but there's a different way to go about it. There's a way that imitates the love of Christ, and I want to kind of talk a little bit about that. So we know that. So we know in the text that Paul is saying to take no part, right, in the unfruitful because it doesn't produce fruit, right? But we are to expose it, and then he goes on to say something. When something is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. pretty easy to follow, right? You tracking with me so far? So how do we do this? Let's look at Ephesians 5, verse 1 to 2. It says, therefore, be imitators of God. Boom. Probably the most simplest thing to do for us as Christians, right? Just to imitate God exactly how he did. Of course not. Let's be real here, Paul. That's not going to be as easy as it seems. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. And look at this. And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. I wonder if sometimes we can be quick to point out the sin in another person's life, but we often forget what's going on in our own lives. We're quick to look at other people's shortfalls, their problems, and think, "Oh man, that person they need a little exposing in their life." But no, Jesus says in Matthew, "Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the big log that is in your own eye?" Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there is a log in your own eye? It's this idea of hypocrisy. Jesus is saying, that's not how we do things. That's not the way of the kingdom. That's not the way of light. That's not how we walk as children of light. I love what 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5 and 6. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. I'm going to read that again. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So we as children of light are called to expose sin and bring it into the light, because when it's brought into the light, there's this the healing power of Jesus comes and brings beauty from ashes. Amen? So that's what we're called to do as Christians. So back to this idea of light. So we talked about this idea of exposing sin, and now we're talking a little bit about what is this light, kind of going back to the first point that we had today. Maybe your mind goes to the person of Jesus. You know, you think of the Gospel of John. You think where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. That's not wrong. That's good theology right there. Or maybe your mind goes to like, oh, it's the scripture. That's where my mind kind of first originally went, because you know that verse, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light to my path, right? We think of maybe it's the scripture that Paul is referring to in this context. So what is this light? What is this light? As we consider what this light is in this context, I wonder if it could be both. So I just want to lean in, draw a few verses here. I'm not going to have them on the screen, so I just want to read them to you. I have like 3 or 4 verses. But let's just talk about this idea of Jesus being the light. Let's like in John 1, verse 1 and 2. A lot of you guys are probably smart Christians. You know the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning. This is kind of a side note, but like the preteens were going through the Gospel of John on our Friday nights, and I like talked about this verse a couple weeks ago, and I remember just like thinking to myself, like, I'm going to start explaining this, but after I explained it, the amount of like blank faces I was getting back was just so like, everybody's like, what? They're like, how is Jesus a book? I'm like, just think of like how the book is like pointing to him. And then they're like, I thought God was the one that created, so he was in the beginning as well. And I'm just like, oh man, maybe I should have like briefly scanned over this, but it's, you know, just miss different verses, just skip it. That's the right way to do it, right? Not quite. John 1, 14, this is one of my favorite verses. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory. The idea that Jesus is the Word, Jesus is the life. Now, what about Jesus being the light? Look at John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. It says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. That's a solid verse right there. The light shines in the darkness. Come on, light and darkness, somebody. This is a good verse right here. And the darkness has not overcome it. And then John 1:9, the last verse. The true light that gives light to everything was coming into the world. So Ben, is Jesus the light? Is it the Word? I wonder if verse 14 kind of unpacks that even a little better than I can explain it. I love it. Verse 14, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Somebody say, Christ will shine on you. Amen. That's good. It's my preteen lessons coming out, just getting to repeat after me things. That's the way to do it. Light shines, therefore, what from what I see here in the text, I think that this light that Paul is referring to is, I wonder if this could be made, it's Jesus. We know that Jesus is also the Word. It's this kind of this collaborative thing, sort of, if that kind of makes sense. Beautiful story going on, beautiful things happening here in the Scriptures. The second point that we have today, walking as children in the light is the second point. Walking in the light means to walk in the will of God. Walking in light means to walk in the will of God. So there's this word walk that we see in the text, and it's actually this Greek word. It's pronounced, I'm going to botch it, but I'm going to try it. Peripateo, I believe is what it is. Daniel, I am taking Greek right now. Maybe he can call me out after, say it's incorrect, but I think that's how you say it. But it's this word that also is translated from walk, but could also mean to live. So it's saying living in this kind of type of way, walking, living. It kind of coincides together. Paul is urging the believers in Ephesus that now is the time to live as children of light. They have this new identity. They are the light. Now let's live in such a way. And I feel like these first two verses, Paul tells us to be observant with how we live, right? And then secondly, he says, Paul brings to attention what the days are like. He says the days are evil, and we need to make the most of the times that we have. But in verse 17, I love what it says. He says, there's that word, therefore. And when we see that, we got to ask, what is it there for, right? There we go. I knew somebody would catch that. What is the there for? Paul talks about how we as children of light can walk in true wisdom, and that is through the wisdom of the will of God. The will of God. Whenever I think of the will of God, praying the will of God, I don't know why, but I always think of Arnold, because Arnold, I feel like, demonstrates this well in his life. I remember we shared a teaching together on one of our Sunday evening prayer events, and we talked about praying the will of God over our lives. So Arnold, when I was doing this, I thought about you, man. I want to dive a little bit more into what this could mean. What is the will of God? There's so many scriptures. I like Googled them, like scriptures that talk about the will of God, and there's like so many. So I'm like, I don't want to share like 47 different verses with you, although that may be good for a certain context, not today though. But I want to kind of focus in on a few different things. But what I found was this one commentator was saying is there's God's general will, and then there's God's particular will. So is this general will idea is this idea that's found in 2 Peter 3:9. You know, this idea of the God doesn't want anybody to perish, right? The verse that says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come into repentance. That's God's general, that's his will for us as children. That's his will for us, that none would perish, but all would have eternal life, all would have everlasting life. And then there's this particular will, this idea of what can we do as individuals, how can we live our lives that kind of coincide with what the will of God is saying. I want to pick three verses here that just, I think, really beautifully encapsulates this. It says this, 1 Thessalonians 5, 3-4, it says, it is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable. Boom, stab right through the heart there. Paul, that's very direct right there. Another example, Peter chapter 1, 15 and 16. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. And the word holy is in a lot of times there. And then I love this verse. It's in Micah 6, verse 8. I think this really, really encapsulates the essence of this idea of God's particular will that he has for us. Micah 6, 8. He has shown us, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. I'm going to read that verse again, that second part. To act justly. Think about how this can apply in your own lives. To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Man, that verse hits home. I can just kind of stew on that verse for a while. I don't know about you. But when I think of God's will for us, I think his desire is for us to really emulate what that verse is saying. There's only a few verses which talks about all those things, but man, the author of Micah there is, man, that is straightforward. That's what is straight as it gets. I love that. Final point here today, and then we're going to wrap things up. Living in the light is made possible through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Living in the light is made possible through the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Verse 18 through 21, it says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." Man, that could be a sermon all in itself right there. Normally when I think of this idea of the Holy Spirit like filling us, or I look at, you know, instances in Scripture, my mind automatically goes to the book of Acts. I think it's pretty obvious. There's a lot of this infilling of God's Spirit. You know, I think of people like Peter, and I think of Stephen, and the Apostle Paul, of course. These are all people that had this radical encounter, were filled with God's Spirit, and walked in this level of empowerment. But it's so interesting that when we look at this specific section of Scripture that Paul is addressing to the church of Ephesus, it's not really this kind of power display, if you will. It's a little bit different. I wonder if we could look a bit into that together right now. So the first two things have to do with singing. What? The evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is there's this insatiable desire to want to lift praise to the Lord. Not just singing together, but also singing alone. By yourself, in the secret place, whatever it may be. Singing. Some of you are like, "I'm not a singer." But that really struck me. What? That's crazy. The second thing, it's so interesting that Paul also talks about how there's this perpetual state of thankfulness and gratitude. So when you're filled with God's Spirit, there's this desire to always just be thankful, no matter what you're going through in your life. Not things that you'd normally think of about being filled with the Holy Spirit. I think of, you know, laying your hands on people and the sick becoming healed. I think of preaching with like a sense of anointing and empowerment. But here Paul is saying that some of these signs, the first things that come to mind when Paul is addressing the church of Ephesus, is there will be evidence of singing, of rejoicing, of giving praise to God. Gratitude and thankfulness. And last but not least, the fourth is this idea of the Spirit wants us, or not the Spirit wants us, but this idea of to elevate others in front of ourselves. This idea of submission. So it's worship, gratitude, and mutual submission. What? That's what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what it says here in the text. I'm just reading it. "Do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." And then Paul says, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's why I love worship here. I remember when I first came here a year and a bit ago. I just had my 1 year anniversary of being at this church. So awesome. So cool. I don't know why I said that, but one of the things that really drew me into this place, well, me and my wife, is this. I love how just the voices were in unison, just rejoicing and giving praise to God. It was the thing that really drew me and my wife into call this place our home. It's this beautiful gift of lifting our voices and singing praise to the Lord. It's something that we can all do. We may not always sound as equal, or we may not have the same, you know, instrumental gifts as, you know, we can't all be like David Lodi, just knowing every instrument in the book. We may not be able to sing like Holly or Wes or whoever it may be, but we all have a voice and we all have this ability to give praise to God. And so you're thinking, "Ben, I wonder if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit." Maybe you can look internally and think, does worship come easy for me, or is it something that feels kind of restricted? Does it feel strained? I want to create some space a little bit later for us as Christians, us as followers of Jesus here in the house today. Maybe we can begin to ask God for this infilling of His Spirit. When it says, this is kind of a side note, but when this idea of being filled with the Spirit, it's not like a one-time thing, it's this continual infilling. Maybe today can be the first step where, like, today and the next 30 days, every day you're like, Spirit of God, fill me today. Who knows what could happen? Maybe singing would become easier. Maybe you would just find moments where you're just worshiping the Lord without even realizing it. You're in the shower and you're just singing, you know, some worship song. I was just about to sing there, but I'm really glad I stopped myself. Not doing that right now. Maybe for you, thankfulness and gratitude is something that is difficult. Maybe you've been through a lot of trials. Maybe you've gone through some heavy things. And and thankfulness is difficult, but maybe what you could do today is you could say, Lord, give me your spirit so I can begin to have this thankfulness in my heart that begins to well up inside of me. And lastly, maybe it's this idea of submission, of putting others before yourselves. Maybe that's difficult for you. Maybe you have this tendency to want to, you know, kind of do things yourself and always be first. Jesus, he didn't come into the world high. He didn't come into the world, you know, as this glorious king, but he came in a manger, right? He came riding on a donkey. There's this low submission aspect to Jesus' life. And it says, Paul is saying, if we are children of the light, this evidence of the Spirit's infilling, there's this aspect of mutual submission. I don't know what that could look like for your own life, but maybe as we kind of enter into a time of worship soon, I wonder if that can maybe be something that you ask yourself today. I want to invite the band back up as we close today. But I want to give us a chance to respond, because I know that we can come here and we can hear a sermon and it can just be like, oh, that's awesome, cool, Holy Spirit, fill me. But I want to create a space for maybe some here today that want to respond. I say, Ben, you know what? I want praise to be on my mouth at all times. I want to be thankful. I want to be filled with God's Spirit. I want to create some opportunity for us today. And so can I invite you guys to stand up if you're physically able as we join in today? I want to ask the team, on the schedule, they're supposed to sing the song, Oh Come to the Altar, but I wonder if we could sing the song, What a Beautiful Name. We sung that earlier, and I think that's such a wonderful song, this idea of surrender, acknowledging the beauty of Christ. I just want to quickly pray, and then we're going to enter into a time of worship where we sing about the beauty of Jesus. And maybe after the service, and you're like, Ben, I wanna respond even more. But I wanna receive prayer. I wanna begin this process of asking God to fill me with His Spirit. We wanna create space in the front for that to be an option for you today. But for now, I just wanna pray for you as a whole, and then let's worship Jesus together. Amen. Heavenly Father, we worship you today. We honor you, Jesus. You are King. You are Lord. You are Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Lord, you created everything simply by speaking, and things came into be. Jesus, I thank you that we can be filled by the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't have to be some strange thing that is confusing, but it can be just simply of just wanting to give you glory, of just wanting to sing praises to you. God, as we take this time to worship you with song, I pray, Lord God, that you would just you would visit us today. So we say, come, Holy Spirit. Maybe you can say that yourself. Say, come, Holy Spirit, fill me today. Fill us today, Holy Spirit. God, I just pray for every person in this room today. I ask for a hunger to be instilled over every person here today, God. I ask, Lord God, that just like it says in that verse 14, awake, O sleeper, arise. God, I pray that there would be an awakening that would take place in the lives of people in our church and in our wonderful church, Lord God, here at Redemption. I pray that there would be an awakening in our lives to want to respond and to want to know you more, Jesus. So God, as we worship you, as we proclaim your goodness and your faithfulness, I just ask, Lord God, that you would visit us today. We pray this all in the amazing name of Jesus. Amen. Let's worship together, church.